Simico.
Gabby Kingley.
Take it easy, take it easy. World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Truth is our bitch. I'm here with Robert Leonard, Bud Dickman, and Margaret Gray. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening, Phil.
Yep, going to talk about that.
I am going to talk about the article, Take It Easy Now, okay? You know, Bud, I got to tell you, just because it says something in a newspaper or in a news article doesn't mean that that's the way it's going to happen.
No, it is kind of scary.
All right, hold on for a minute.
Would you let him get into the show? I'm sorry, Phil, let him get into the show. Sit down, Bud. Why is the fly open?
I came back from the bathroom and I forgot all about it.
Is that right? Remember to do your fly up. Anyway, welcome to our program. Our number 877-876-PHIL. We're here at the El Pacifico, where the weather today was. We've got the June gloom down here in Southern California. I refuse, by the way, to call it Cali. I'm sorry, but it's never going to happen. I don't call it SoCal, and that may be an arrogant move on my part. Maybe I'm making myself maybe I'm being curmudgeonly. Maybe I'm distancing myself from the mass of people. But the word Cali just sounds real jive, you know.
You think it sounds gay. Why don't you say it?
No, I never use the word gay.
Well, then why did you do the thing with your hand?
You go like, oh, gay. Yeah, you do. It's almost like you're with a you're dunking a scented kerchief.
Dunking a scented kerchief?
Yes, in perfume.
So in other words, I'm an 18th century dandy.
In many ways, yes. Because, Phil, Cali is the way, you know.
That they're saying it now.
Yes.
Well, some of the youth culture calls it Cali. I just don't dig it. I think I'm not going to do it. You know, and I said to somebody, I go, I think people from out of state, it's kind of like San Francisco. You don't call it, if you grow up in California, you know the last thing you do is call it Frisco. If you call it Frisco, you could get beat up. You know, it used to be, if you went to San Francisco and go, ah, hey, this is great to be in Frisco. Well, you lousy, boom, you know. I mean, they immediately mark you as an out of, generally they figure you're a guy from L.A., which is not good. But that ain't near as bad probably as being from back east. But nonetheless, you come to learn that San Francisco is always referred to as the city by the natives. And that's what you came to call it. Or you came to call it San Francisco, you know. There's only one group of guys that very comfortably called it Frisco, and nobody was going to argue with them, and that was the Hell's Angels.
Hey.
Thank you.
But I call the chapters Frisco.
Yes, the San Francisco chapter is the Frisco chapter, and that's just all there is to it. Nonetheless, I don't call it Frisco, and I don't call it Cali, and I ain't calling it SoCal, and so there. Now, what Bud was freaking out about was the article here in Forbes, How the Human Face Might Look in 100,000 Years. And it's pretty, it's not too much different from Barbara Bush's last photograph. I'm kidding.
That was unnecessary, Phil.
I'm joking. They've got the bugged out eyes, and I shouldn't say.
What about a bugged out eye?
Yeah, well, what happened was Barbara Bush had a condition, still does, I believe, that causes her eyes to appear as if they're more pronounced, if you will. You've probably noticed it a little bit, the former First Lady. And that's unfortunate, but I don't think it's disfigured her or anything. I think she's still, you know, as an older woman, she was a perfectly fine-looking lady.
Yes, I would say that Barbara Bush, especially when she was a younger woman, very attractive.
Right. But this look here of the human of the future is pretty weird. And let me just get over here so I can show. I want to show it to my viewers on Phil TV and HD as we talk about it. They have a photograph. Now, this is an article that was, if you will, not written, but it was based upon the writings of scientists who are looking into this phenomenon. What will we look like in 100,000 years? If you're looking at Phil TV and HD, that's, now do you see the eyeballs?
Yeah, it's very disturbing, and the faces are all bugged out. Yeah, I'd say that's very disturbing.
Very disturbing would be the key phrase.
Well, it is disturbing, but it is, there's something about it that I find extremely attractive. I don't know what it is.
Are you kidding me? That guy looks like an insect or something.
It's not, I don't know. I mean, here's the article. It says, we've come a long way looks-wise from our Homo sapien ancestors between 800,000 and 200,000 years ago, for instance. Rapid changes in Earth climate coincided with a tripling in the size of the human brain and skull, leading to a flattening of the face. But how might the physiological features of human beings change in the future, especially as new wearable technology like Google Glass change the way we use our bodies and faces? What is Google Glass?
It's some sort of, what is it, bud?
It's Google, it's goggle. Yeah, it's called goggles. They're called Googles, and you put them on.
You mean goggles?
What's the name of the company?
Google, man.
Yeah.
So they're Google goggles? So what?
I think these have some sort of property. In other words, they're going to become an extension of the human visual apparatus. And as such, you'll wear them, and the eyeballs, I don't know, Phil, but you wear these Google... The goggle. Gaga? No, that's...
That's baby talk.
That's baby talk. It's called the Gaga...
Every time we try to say something...
Take it easy. Don't give me this wee stuff. All right, so like... Let's just table that. Like Google Glass, change the way we use our bodies and face. Artist and researcher Nikolai Lam has partnered with a computational geneticist to research and illustrate what we might look like 20,000 years into the future, as well as 60,000 years and 100,000 years out. His full eye-popping illustrations are at the bottom of this post. Now, we see one... What does it mean, the bottom? I'm looking at one right here. Now, there is... basically, the human face doesn't change much, except the eyeballs bug out.
Well, the eyeballs bug out, and the head gets bigger. Do you see that?
Okay, yes. So here, today, typical-looking man and woman. And here, I'll do this for our friends at home looking on Lovetronica. I think I'm going to change the name of Phil TV to Lovetronica. Okay, there we are. And if you see this article, it's Forbes magazine article on human beings and the way we look today. A typical-looking man and woman.
Well, I would say typical. They're
very good looking.
Yes.
Yeah, most people don't have a face that's good like that.
Well, they're not knockout, drop-dead gorgeous. They're just, you know, they're normal people. You know, when they use models, they generally try to find models that are not going to distract us from what the point is that they're trying to make, you know.
Meaning what?
They're going to find people that are fine to look at. What are they going to do, go out and find some guy with a big honking nose and...
Well, I think the reality would be... You find someone with a big nose and bad teeth. Isn't that what we encounter every day?
No, not necessarily. So here are people, big nose and bad teeth.
Well, in some instances, like Robert.
Shut up, man. My teeth are not bad. Look at your teeth.
After you went to that tree, bud, yeah, you got a lot to talk about. Anyway, so here is now. Now let's move into the future. Aha. Now the guy, especially the guy, his head got bigger.
Oh, look. That's 20,000 years. Humans have a larger head with a forehead that is subtly too large. A future communications lens is represented by the yellow ring around their eyes.
What does that mean?
Well, these are lenses that will be the Google Glass of the future.
What do you mean Google Glass? What is this, something that's implanted?
Yeah, think of something that you have a they'll surgically put it in like the Bionic Man or something.
No, they ain't, man. It's something you can take off.
Well, I don't know if you guys can see this, but here is the human being of 20,000 years in the future. And that's not that pronounced a difference. But I suppose if you and I went into the future, we would see humans that are taller and would have a larger forehead if we went 20,000 years in the future. So in other words, I'd be scared, you know.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah, I would be scared. I wouldn't want to get out of the time capsule. Because it isn't anything we're going to be able to pop out and just go, hey, how are you doing? You know, like in that movie, TV show, The Time Tunnel, where they got dressed up and they went, you know.
Yes, they went into the future.
Yeah, there's no way. Because you'd get out wearing, you know, this is what we think the futuristic clothes. And they'll say, why aren't you in the zoo? Where are you? What do you mean zoo? Well, your head's way too small to be out here talking to me. Get your ass back in your cage, monkey.
Woo! That would be racism right there if they tried it. Monkify.
Yeah, they monkify you. Is that a word?
No, of course not. It's not a word. You guys make up words around here. Monkify. All right, look, we're going to be back because this is something that needs more exploring. What our heads are going to look like 20,000 years.
You think this is funny, Phil? This is jarring to a lot of people.
it may be jarring, but guess what? I live now, and 20,000 years from now, I don't know from any... I could care less, man. I ain't even going to be... You know, who will remember Phil Hendry? Unless I am of a stature of a pharaoh. A pharaoh.
Tom Farrow?
Tom Farrow was a friend... Not Tom Farrow. Tom, if you're listening, how you doing? We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
P-H-A-R-O. So, welcome back as we continue our discussion of what the human head will look like and what the human being will look like some 100,000 years into the future. Now, this is an article that we have seen here on our news site, Forbes magazine, carried by Yahoo. And it's quite interesting. And again, it is quite jarring. And essentially what these scientists are saying is that as we proceed into the future, we're going to become bigger. And these models that I've shown you that are illustrated here in the Forbes article, they go from modern man and woman, which is, if you can imagine us, it's I don't know what, you know, maybe the man's approaching 6 foot, the woman slightly smaller at 5'9", something like that. But as we move into the future, and I'm scrolling down here, 20,000 years into the future now, we've gotten a little bit taller, the forehead gets more pronounced, the eyes become bigger. Humans have a large head with a forehead that is subtly too large. A future communications lens is represented by the yellow ring around the eyes. I don't really see it. These lenses will be the Google Glass of the future. And then when you go to 60,000 years into the future, now you're looking at, if you were to land 60,000 years into the future in a time capsule and you got out of the thing, you said, well, I'm still on Earth, this is going to be great, and you encountered these two people, you'd scream and you'd run for some place to relieve yourself.
That'd be the first thing I'd think to do.
Well, what do you mean you'd scream and run for a place to relieve yourself? Are you saying that you'd spontaneously emit?
Margaret, I'm just being... I'm overstating, okay?
All right, because I don't like the image of that.
Relieve oneself, as in urinate, or the other, not emit.
Well, I mean, you're saying that we would spontaneously emit.
No, I'm not saying that.
What does that mean, spontaneous emit?
Well, it means, here, I'll whisper it.
Oh, yeah?
What are you guys doing?
Hold on.
Man, you're kidding me.
No, hold on.
What are you doing, bud? It's taking you for a half hour to tell the guy.
Spontaneous emit. It's when, you know...
Never mind. You took about a half an hour telling this guy. What are you telling him anyway?
Well, he's trying to figure out... first of all, he's trying to ask me if I could hear him, and I said, yeah. And they said,
Never mind, okay? So there's the picture of the two people with the big eyeballs bugged out. Now we go 100,000 years into the future, and I don't want to be around for this, because the eyes are all big and huge. The chick is, she looks like Eyeball Queen of the human race.
Man, what if you became a slave? You had to be your sex slave.
Well, nothing gets past her.
Nothing gets past her.
Very funny.
What's wrong?
Well, this is disturbing. But again, you're looking at the very pronounced eyeball. Why doesn't it just become one eye? You know, the Cyclops concept.
I don't know, Margaret. This is what the doctor's saying here. The human face is proportioned to the golden ratio, though its features unnervingly large eyes. What are they talking about? In 60,000 years, human beings have even larger heads, larger eyes, and pigmented skin. Dig it. So our skin is going to be darker, probably because of the continuation of the intermingling and the mixing of races, which is as it should be, in my opinion. A pronounced supercilliary arch makes for a darker area below the eyebrows. Miniature bone conduction devices may be implanted above the ear now to work with communication lens. So the eyes are going to become even more important in terms of seeing, and they're also hearing will be very important, and that will be aided by these artificial devices. And on top of that now, they're saying that the forehead is going to not only is going to be higher, but it's going to come out. So there's going to be, the eyes will be deeper set. You know?
Man, that's like every science fiction movie they ever saw. Because the one we saw where the guy had the big head.
Yeah, most of the big head shows where the eyeballs are way back in.
What big head shows are you talking about?
Like the one we saw on Outer Limit.
Well, yeah, Outer Limits had this one where a guy went into a machine and could advance the machine, and his head got bigger.
What?
Margaret, it was a future machine, okay?
Yes, like, what is the one they had with the dog?
The one they had with a dog?
Talk about Mr. Peabody?
Yes, this Peabody. Was that the cartoon?
Yeah, that's the Wayback Machine. That's not a future machine, it's a Wayback Machine.
Well, they went into the future because I thought I saw the dog's head. No, I don't know.
What?
Yeah, they did, like, when they did a Wayback Machine on a what do you call it?
It's called Rocky and Bullwinkle.
No, man, it's Seymour and the Professor, right?
Yes, the dog and the little boy.
Right, Seymour and the Professor.
Well, yeah, the Wayback.
The Wayback Machine, yeah.
Well, in one of the episodes, the professor, which is a dog, Mr. Sherman, right?
Yeah, Sherman and Mr. Peabody, that was the guy's name, Peabody and Sherman. Why did I say Seymour?
Yeah, so anyway, Peabody, the dog, went into the Wayback Machine.
Yes.
And they moved the lever forward to like a million years of future.
Yeah, and then a dog's head got big.
Get out of here. I don't remember anything.
What is so funny?
I swear to God, Mr. Henry.
Get out of here, man. I didn't remember Peabody's head getting bigger.
They did when they put the Peabody in there. And that's why they call it. I know you're going to think I'm joking, but I'm not. You can talk. Dr. Tarner's on the phone, by the way.
Yeah, we want to get Dr. Ron Tarner on here. What?
Dr. Tarner said that's why they called him Peabody.
Because the head got big.
And the body
was... Why you say that?
Because no one believes that, and even if it's true, I damn you to hell for bringing it up, because it contorts my view of life.
I think both of you guys are full of crap.
No, I swear to God, sir.
No, hold. Both of you guys are full of crap. There was no point, whatever the hell that thing was called, Poindexter.
No, that's Felix the Cat.
Whatever the name of the thing was. Mr. Peabody didn't go into the Wayback Machine and go into the future and come out with a big dog head and... Forget it, man. Forget it. All right, Dr. Ron Tarner joining us from Mountain Meadow Observatory in Colorado. And it is the weekend. Dr. Tarner, I know you're on your way home to the family. Appreciate it very much. How are you, sir?
Phil, we're doing very good. We had a breakthrough today at the observatory. We're able to identify three stars today. I know this is something that your audience would not necessarily readily understand, but there will be in the Astronomical Society's publication in 2 weeks, and I wrote the article. We identified three stars in what we now think is a star system in constellation Nebulae Catria, which is the nearest to what is called the dark region of the Milky Way. It's actually relatively close. It's about 7,000 light years from the outer area of our solar system,
right?
Yes, it's called the solar system, but there's another term for it that we use. But in any event, I wrote the article. We're very excited about that.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And again, this is a star system that is pretty close to our own.
It is. It's a relatively close locale here in the Milky Way, which is the Milky Way is the galaxy that we're in, the Milky Way.
Now, you're saying the Milky Way?
No. I'm sorry. I've got a little bit of a cold. It's called the Milky Way.
Yeah, the Milky Way.
He's saying Milky Way. His nose is stuffed up.
Hey, Dr. Tyler, I understand. This is Robert.
Yes, Robert.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. These people were...
No, not these people. It sounded like you were saying Milky Way.
No, I'm telling you now, Margaret. I know it sounds like Milky Way, but it's
Milky Way.
Yeah, Milky Way.
Now, right there, it sounded like Bill Keep Way.
Yeah.
Okay, forget it, Dr. Tarner.
Well, no, it's bothering me. Am I not saying it right?
You're saying it fine, sir. You have a little bit of... The man's got a cold.
I know he has a cold. I'm trying to help him with his pronunciation.
Well, my pronunciation, Margaret, is not going to be very good because of the cold, but by God. So it's called the building.
the bill being lay.
I'm going to belt you. I swear to God.
What did I do wrong? He said it's the Billy way.
He didn't say it's the Billy way or the Bill Bean way or the Bilbo way. He said it's the Milky Way. We'll be right back, folks, as we talk about the human face and how it will evolve and look over the next 100,000 years. Fascinating topic here with Dr. Ron Turner from Mountain Meadow Observatory. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Milky Way. I know that.
Then why are you saying Bilby Way?
I'm asking him, is that what he's saying?
He's saying the Milky Way.
Get those faces out of here.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're talking about how the human face might look in 100,000 years based on an article in Forbes magazine. With us is Dr. Ron Turner from Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado, just outside of Denver. And Dr. Turner, we're kind of segueing here from astronomy into physiognomy, correct?
Well, yes, Phil, it's evolutionary science. Physiognomy is a part of it. As the article in Forbes magazine says, we are quite changed from the days when we were, post-Cro-Magnon people.
Cro-Magnon?
Yes, I'm sorry, Cro-Magnon people.
Now, what was a Cro-Magnon? Were slightly smaller brain cavity and...
Yeah, there was a difference as a skull. We were not yet the modern human that we are today. They consisted physiological and physiognomical. I made that word up because I just want to get this over with, this interview.
Why? I'm sorry.
Well, no. I have a cold, and these two idiots...
We're not idiots.
What do we do?
Well, you're asking me stupid questions. I just want to get the interview over with, and to effect that, I'm just making words up.
Well, you don't have to do that. And I'm sorry, I'll keep these two guys quiet, Doc, but you don't have to make up words.
Well, you're interrupting me now. Can we just get going, please?
Fine, go ahead.
So you got these, I'm sorry, Phil, but I want to do it. It's very interesting. I want to tell you about it. But we wasted so much time with the Bilbo Way.
Well, okay, it's the Milky Way.
It's the Milky Bay, yeah.
Don't say it, bud.
Well, you said Bilbo.
I did not say Bilbo, you ass. And if you bother me more, I'm going to use the next word that comes after that that starts with an H.
Hat?
Yeah, okay, ass hat.
God. All right. Are you done?
Yeah.
So anyway, Phil, we have come a long way. The human being, now here's what we think. How might the physiological features of human beings change in the future, especially as new wearable technology, like the Google Glass, and you're asking, well, what is the Google Glass? And when I hit Google Glass as a query in the search feature that they provide with the story, it said the following: we did not find results for Google Glass. Type a new query. So isn't that great? Now, as I...
Whoa, it said what?
You heard me.
It said there's no definition of Google Glass.
No, none. And I think it's because you're reading a Yahoo story. And Yahoo would rather die with blood in their mouth than promote anything by Google.
Let's just stay sane and report the facts, okay, so we don't get overboard here. You didn't find anything under Google Glass.
No, and I'm telling you, it's because Yahoo is the... Are you reading a Yahoo story?
Yes.
They'd rather die with blood in their mouths. And
all right, Doc, you don't have to say that. So you're saying that Yahoo is blocking a definition of Google Glass, so they're not promoting them.
That's exactly correct. So if I were you, I'd get over to the Google story and read the Google.
But he said Google.
No, I didn't say Google. I don't want to talk to him, if you don't mind.
Bud, shut up.
You don't get to tell me you shut up. Only Mr. Harry do.
Then shut up.
Shut up, Bud.
You don't get to tell me. Well,
shut up.
Yeah, Bud, and I'll say it, even though I have no right. Shut up. And I'm Dr. Tartar. And I didn't say Google. I said Google. Maybe you say Google because that's how you communicate. In baby speak.
Thanks a lot, Bud.
I didn't do anything.
Yes, you did. Blah, 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 blah. I don't blame him for hanging up. That's fantastic, man. We got a whole 7 minutes left in this segment.
Well, what is Goo Goo?
It ain't Goo Goo. It's Google Glass. It changes the way we use our bodies and faces. Artist and researcher Nicolay Lam has partnered with a computational geneticist to research and illustrate what we might look like 20,000 years from now. Lam says this is one possible timeline where, thanks to zygotic genome engineering technology, our future selves would have the ability to control human biology and human evolution in much the same way we control electrons today. What?
So in other words, they're saying that we can decide what we want to look like 20,000 years in the future.
Yeah.
Well, then why in the name of God would we want ourselves to have the bugged out eyeballs, the heads that go way...
Well, wait a minute. Nobody chose that. That's what he thinks is going to happen based upon our needs, and that is based upon the climate of the planet, the ecological changes of the planet, and so forth. He speaks of wresting control of the human form from natural evolution and bending human biology to suit our needs. Because, you know, we're already controlling disease. We're already controlling, in many, many ways, the environment, vegetation, animal life. We're on the verge of controlling weather in a very profound way, I think.
Well, now, wait a minute. Where did you hear that?
Yeah, I don't know if you got information on that, Mr. Henry.
Well, what are you talking about, man? We're right now have been experimenting with ways that we can affect weather systems, ways that we can affect the cloud formation and so forth.
Are you talking about seeding the clouds?
No, I'm not talking about seeding the clouds. I'm talking about controlling by way of electricity, or what do you call it, electromagnetic fields.
You're faking it pretty good, Mr. Andrew.
Thank you.
So you are faking it.
Wait a minute. You're asking me a complicated question. I'm just saying that I have read where, yes, maybe we could... What's that?
Dr. Turner.
Let me talk to him off the air for a minute. Hey, Dr. Turner? Dr. Turner?
Yeah, Rod Turner here.
I said off the air, bud.
Oh.
Never mind. Dr. Turner, please don't hang up.
Well, I will not have anyone telling me why someone's eyeballs are too big. I'm the one that knows. And I want Dickman to keep his mouth shut, and I don't speak baby talk.
All right, I understand that. All right.
Well, why are the eyeballs that big?
I'm going to tell you. Now, first of all, we're talking about Nicolay Lam as an artist, and then Dr. Kwan, who is Alan Kwan, who's with Washington University. He's a computational genomics professor. He based his predictions on what living environments might look like in the future, climate and technological advances. One of the big changes will be a large forehead, a feature that is already expanding since the 14th and 16th centuries. Scientists writing in the British Dental Journal have suggested that skull measurement comparisons from that time show modern-day people have less prominent facial features but higher foreheads, and Kwan expects the human head to trend larger to accommodate a big brain.
Wow. So since the 14th and 16th centuries.
What about the 15th?
Well, what do you mean, 14th and 16th centuries?
What about the 15th century?
I guess the head stayed the same way.
Why was it growing in the 14th?
I don't know. Maybe things were happening on the planet that made the head grow in the 16th century, too. But in the 15th century, there was no...
There were no head-growing properties.
There was no head-growing... You ask me, if you could keep him quiet, Phil, it will do two things. I won't beat my son when I get home, and I'll be able to...
Well, come on, Doc. You know, I can't have that kind of talk. Now, just, Bud, I've asked you. You know how he is. He's an idiot, okay? And he's very curious.
All right, but I don't want him asked. If you're asking me, is the head different from the 14th century? Yes. 15th century, something happened and the head stayed the same.
The 14th century, by the way, folks, would be the 1300s, and that, of course, was the era of the bubonic plague in Europe. It was a terrible, terrible... I read a book once called Distant Mirror, which was a comparison of the 14th and 20th centuries, and the author, Barbara Tuchman, basically said that we're living in a century, the 20th century, that was that's very much like the 14th century. There was rampant disease that was killing millions of people. We've had the AIDS epidemic. It's nowhere near what the Black Death was, but still in all, a devastating epidemic, wars, I mean, all kinds of wars on all continents, and a power shift, a basic violent change in the way people live their lives happened in the 14th century as the result of the Black Death. So I wonder if all of that tumult had something to do with the physiology of humans.
Well, I don't know, Phil. That was very interesting. I don't know if anybody ever... You're right about the Black Death, but the Black Death, which was the bubonic plague, at first glance you would think it would have made our heads bigger because you're trying to figure out a way to get the hell out of there, you know?
And I don't understand.
No.
Well, if there's the Black Plague, and nobody knew because it was the 13th century, you didn't know it was caused by rats and by fleas. People thought it was being caused by Jews. They thought it was being caused by the astrology. You know, they didn't know what. And so you're trying to figure it out and trying to figure it out. Well, the head's going to get, you know, bigger.
Well, it's not going to get big. From when?
From before the disease happened.
Is it going to get bigger, like, right away?
Did you guys just ask me why the head got bigger?
Our heads are bigger than they were in the 14th and 16th century, right?
Yes. And I'm telling you, there were profound changes in the 14th century. You brought up one of them, the Black Death. And no one could understand why we had a Black Death. And they're scratching their noodle and they're trying to figure this out. Well, you can well imagine a guy's head get bigger, can't you?
No, I cannot. No, I cannot. The human body doesn't evolve that quickly.
Well, I hate to do this, Phil, but I guess I have to. Am I a doctor or are you? I missed that.
You're the doctor.
Thank you.
Yeah, but Phil's right. You know, and...
Whoa. Hey, Mumbles, could I just... You know, Phil's right. Well, no, he's not. I'm the doctor, and I say, because everybody was trying to figure out the Black Death, the head got bigger. Now, what do you think of that?
I think it's a childish, asinine thing to say.
Thank you very much.
You did that on purpose.
No, I didn't. How did I do that on purpose?
Well, you're laughing. You're going,
Well, let me tell you something, Margaret. This is a doctor, and he's a scientist, and he tells me that the human head got bigger because we were trying to figure out how to get away from the Black Death. You're not going to have the head, the cranium of the human animal get bigger in evolutionary terms that fast. It takes thousands of years. And now what they're saying here is that the 14th and 16th centuries, our skull began to expand. So, and also the facial features of people back then were more pronounced. Now today, our facial features are less prominent.
What do you mean about facial feature?
Like noses, like mouths, like just the facial features. Back in those days, people had probably, I don't know.
Like bigger noses, like the big nose and the big ears.
Yeah, they probably had a lot of big-eared people.
Well, whatever, man. As our foreheads have gotten higher, it's sort of constricted or, I don't know.
Well, now you're saying we're going to really look freaky, and I resent that.
Wait, how am I saying that?
Well, you're saying compared to the 14th century, we look like freaks. They had big, well, you're right, they had big ears.
Yeah, they had probably had big freaking Dumbo ears. I don't know.
Well, then they look worse.
Yeah, but everything on this show, you guys make it like, back then they must have had Dumbo ears.
Yeah, they probably had bigger. Well, I better not say.
Oh, yes.
What?
Well, the men must have had larger penises.
I'm sorry?
Larger penises.
Doesn't it say... Shut up, bud. Doesn't it say facial features?
Yes, it does. But if the nose is big...
That'll make the other one get bigger.
Okay, we'll be right back, folks.
Don't act as if I'm dumber than dumb, Phil.
That's about the dumbest segment we've ever done right there. The facial, the nose is big, the penis is big, Dumbo ears. This is the 14th century. This is your 14th century world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth.
Well, now
is
I feel like
bitch.
An ass.
Well, I'm the sorry, Phil Hendry Phil. Show.
You should have known.
Should have known what?
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and a reminder that we're online at philhendryshow.com. Our worldwide web headquarters is philhendryshow.com. It is there that we do live streaming video of our radio show every night. And we're also making available to you all of the archives of our radio show, going back almost 15 years, close to 5,000 hours. And it's impossible to go through all of the material on our website without a really seriously concerted effort. And we actually did a just sort of broke it down mathematically. It would take you 6 solid months of continuous listening. No food, no bathroom breaks, no sleeping. 6 solid months to get through all of the radio shows, all of the material that we have. And it's ever increasing because each and every radio show we do, and now our video casts are all going into our archive. It's a deal, man. I mean, any way you look at it, for $9.99 a month, that's a backstage pass for 1 month. You've got a classic radio shows from the Phil Hendry Show. And we dare say we offer up some laughs. So we actually have a podcast every day, you know.
Well, I've heard people say they listen to the classic podcast and they laugh and laugh. And a friend of Frank's, as a matter of fact, they had a spastic. I don't know if I should tell you this.
Well, what is it?
They had a spastic colon. And
what's that?
Don't worry. But they had the spastic colon, and it's, I don't mean to be indelicate, ladies and gentlemen, but it causes a spontaneous releasing.
Oh, God.
Yes. But with the Phil Hendry podcast, and you can well imagine, they laughed, and yes, it continued to be a problem for them. But can you imagine laughing through the fact that you have fouled yourself in a restaurant, and yet you're laughing? You feel good. You are proud of yourself.
Wait, hold on for a minute, Margaret.
Phil, why do you always interrupt that way?
What?
Yeah, go, whoa.
Yes, you're always, whoa. Hold on, Margaret. Would you let me finish?
No, I don't want you to finish, because what you just said was the guy fouled himself.
Would you let me finish, for God's sake?
Yeah, Phil, you're always butting in and everything.
Go ahead.
The point that I'm making with the Phil Hendry backstage pass, my friend, Jeff Wanusman, who is a very good friend of Frank's, fouled himself. In other words, he lost control of his bowels in a restaurant in the middle of Houston, Texas. It was at the oil club there. Very, very wealthy men. And he didn't care. That's what I'm trying to say, because he was laughing so hard, thinking of a bit from the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, you put it that way. That's
pretty good, if you think about it.
It is. The poor guy.
What do you mean? Are you...
All right. He didn't care, and everything's good, right?
Well, he was... Yeah, he was thrown out of the club. But again...
Well, see, so now we have a downside here.
You're the one that's trying to find... All right, I'll give you the downside. He was thrown out of the club. He was arrested for befoulment. I don't know. In Houston, they've got laws there that I don't know. But the point is, and when I talked to him on the phone, I said, Jeff, he said, I was laughing so much at a bit on the Phil Hendry website. I don't know what it was. The spasm kicked in, the lower colon spasm. It came out, Margaret, like a garden hose. I said, God bless you. He said, it just was wonderful the way I was laughing, and I didn't care as everyone fled the restaurant, you know? You know, Phil?
Yeah, I just can't imagine.
You know, this is the only guy I know. You, Phil, you're the only guy I know that I'm paying a compliment to, and you look as if someone, as Lorena Bobbitt, just got to you.
Oh, come on.
No, you do.
Do, Mr. Henry. You ought to appreciate the compliment what a lady give.
I appreciate it very much, Margaret. And I will say this, that that you will laugh, and our daily archival podcast is a fantastic shot of laughter and humor for you that will cure a lot of ills, man. You know, I'm not kidding you when I say that laughter can cure a lot. It can. Do you know that on our Facebook page?
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
What's with the here we go?
Are you going to talk about the ladies with cancer? Because I've heard it about 50 times.
I haven't said anything about it on the show at all.
Yes, but you're, well, as you know, 2 women with cancer, and aren't I great?
Yeah, Miss Annie, just let it go.
Leave it, Phil. Just leave it.
No, I will not leave it. No, I will not.
Oh, God.
I will not leave it. 2 ladies with breast cancer have, well, you're right, it is kind of morbid.
Yeah, it's morbid. Just leave it.
Yeah, I've got to leave it, Miss Annie.
I'll leave it, okay? I'll leave it.
Thank you. My story was more...
Yeah, let's hear about spastic colons. That's wow.
What a baby.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome back here, folks. Get a backstage pass. You'll know what I mean. Speaking of weird pictures, there's another weird picture that's been making the rounds, and this is a picture of President Obama, only it is President Obama, and his image has been blended with that of former President Bush to create an image that is being used by the political opponents of President Obama. When I say political opponents, by the way, I'm not necessarily talking about conservatives or Republicans. I'm talking about individuals in his own party who feel that President Obama has, has sold them out or hasn't done what he should do, and he's just nothing but a Republican Democrats' clothing and blah, 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 blah. Let's take a look. Here is the picture. Someone took a picture of President Obama, blended it with a picture of President Bush, and there you have it, if you can see that on Phil TV.
Yeah, that looks just, if President Bush was well, I don't want to say a bad word.
What?
If he was Negro.
Yeah, it is. If President Bush was a Negro, yeah. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. We have Scarlett Johansson, who we drop everything. Every time there's something about Scarlett Johansson in the news, we drop all news. It's all about her, and that's coming up next. World famous, because this is the official Scarlett Johansson radio show, as well as the official Phil Henry show, as well as the official Your Eyeballs Are Bugged Out and You Got the Big Head 100,000 Years Into the Future radio show. The world famous Phil Henry show.
Get the eyeballs bugged out.
Your eyeballs are bugged out.
Your eyeballs are.
I like to see you in the future, man. Your eyeballs would be all bugged out.
You'd all
Phil
look ugly.
Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And it is the shores of the El Pacifico. Here, our studio, our El Pacifico studio, for the last 6 years here with the Talk Radio Network. Our final TRN show will be on the 24th of June. But we have a major announcement next week. We will be releasing that by way of the press release to the radio press. But we will also be announcing it here on our show. The first people to hear it will be our backstage pass members during our pre-show. And then we will, of course, share it with our radio audience. But a major announcement concerning the Phil Henry Show next week. And concurrent, although it is nothing I can announce or be specific about, we have other projects in the offing. One is the one-man show, and another is a work that we're doing on a TV project that we feel very, 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 very positive about. And I will fill you in on that. But as you know, guys, I don't like to say things. I'm always missing the mark when it comes to timing, but I never, ever, ever tell you about something that doesn't eventually happen.
Well, now, wait just a minute, Phil.
Yeah, you said when you're going to do that cop show.
What cop show?
Didn't you say you're going to play a cop?
No, you were going to play the detective that wears the derby.
No, no.
Yeah, you said.
I remember something about a derby hat and a cane.
Oh, get out of here. There was no show with a derby hat and a cane. No show. What, was I going to star in it?
Well, that's what you hoped.
Yeah, you wanted to sell it. You wanted to sell a show based on a cop with a derby and a cane, and he whistled.
Get out of here. You cats are high on drugs, man. I never said anything of the sort.
Yeah, it was like a Batman show?
Yes, it was Batman.
What's Batman got to do with a derby hat?
It was Batman, as God is my witness. Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was bad.
I'm telling you right now, you guys, you're batty. That's what you are. Batman, a derby hat. I want to get this clear. A derby hat and what else?
No, you're not going to make fun of me now and hold me up to ridicule.
Wait.
Hello?
Phil, this is Alicia calling in from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I wanted to tell you that Marvin and Bert are right about that. I listened to your program. You're going to be Bat Masterson.
Bat Masterson. Okay. Now that makes sense.
Yes, that's what... Elisa, is that the name?
Yes, Marvin, I'm Elisa. And Bat Masterson was not Batman, though.
Well, who is Bat Masterson?
Bat Masterson was a cop in the 19th century. He was friends with the... I believe he was friends with the Earps, you know.
Who's that?
Wyatt Earp.
Yeah, he thinks that's funny, Wyatt Earp.
No, Bat Masterson was a police officer, and he did wear a derby hat, and he had a cane and everything like this. Well, that's what I want to say. But I never heard you say you were going to star in a show. I think you said you wanted to do Bat Masterson as a one-man stage play.
No, ma'am, I never said I wanted to be Bat Masterson in a one-man stage play.
I'm really sure you did.
Well, if this lady said you did, Phil...
What sense does that make?
I don't know.
Yeah, who can know?
I can know. What's that? I want to go out and do Bat Masterson in a one-man stage show. That's a stiff if ever I heard one.
Well, you know, when you said it, Phil, that's exactly what I said. I looked at my husband, too, Jim, and he said, why would Phil want to do that and stiff it up, you know? And I said the same thing.
Why would Phil want to do that and stiff it up? I never said that, though.
Well, yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Well, if this lady says you did, Phil...
What, ma'am, what show? Do you remember?
Yes, I do. I think it was around Christmas time, either last year or this year.
Christmas time this year? Christmas hasn't arrived yet.
Yeah, well, no, yes, it has. This past year.
2012?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's not this year.
Don't nitpick, Phil. The lady's trying to answer your question.
Yes, it was this year. Well, it was this past year.
Okay, fine. So, I said at that time...
Well, I don't know if you said it then or the year before that, which would have been 2010, right?
No, that would have been 2011.
I'm sorry, 2012.
Okay, so what did I say?
You said that you were very excited about doing a one-man show that was going to go all over the country and you were going to play Bat Masterson in varying stages of his life when he had a derby hat and he had a cane and spats. And you said that it would be fun if you could do a dance or a song.
No, I didn't.
You sure you didn't?
I'm positive I didn't.
Well, who else is on at the same time? Is Rusty Humphrey?
Ma'am, if Rusty Humphrey said that, you'd have to talk to him.
What's his phone number?
I don't know. I never said that.
You know what? Elise, this is Margaret.
Yes, Margaret.
You are a charming dear for calling in with that information.
Thank you very much.
And if you have any recording of it, oh, God, I would give money.
Yeah, that's what we ought to do. Get a recording of it.
Well, I thought you said, Mr. Henry, you've got the largest something, and I'm hoping you said, I was going to make a joke out of it.
Well, you don't have to make the largest archive.
Yeah, you know, that you have the largest penis.
Okay, thank you very much.
What did she say?
Nothing. Can we look? What do I got to look it up for?
No, I'm going to go through the show log and find out.
You're not going to go through. You're not going to find that. In any show log we have, I didn't say it was going to be Bat Masterson.
Well, then that woman's crazy.
I'm not going to say that either, since she's probably listening right now. No, she's not crazy. She's probably a wonderful lady. And I'm sure that she meant Rusty Humphreys.
Yeah, but Rusty Humphreys didn't say it. Now you're really in for it.
Get out of here. Whoever said it, she said it. Who else is on at the same time as me? Who else is on right now?
Well, let's see. George Zimmerman.
George Zimmerman?
Who's the man that does Coast to Coast?
George Parley.
George Norrie.
Yeah, George Norrie, man.
Who's? Oh, okay.
George Norrie?
He wants to be Bat Masterson? I doubt it, Phil. That sounds a little crazy for George. I would think that's right up your alley.
Yeah. See, George, all he talks about are flying saucers, so he would never want to put on a derby hat and do a soft shoe in spats.
Well, why would he?
Yeah, exactly. Why would he? I mean, he doesn't do weird stuff at all. All right. So thank you very much, dear, for that call. But I will tell you that through our archives, you can just have yourself a ball. Now, George W. Obama is a creepy picture making the rounds online that skillfully melds the faces of the past two presidents, but for critics of the Obama administration, it has a much deeper meaning. We had the picture up, and there it is. Let me get this picture. The George W. Obama picture. If you take a look at this thing, it looks like President Obama and George Bush blended together.
Well, I think Butt said it looks like, what would George Bush look like if he looked like Barack Obama?
Yeah, that's...
What?
Well, that's a... What kind of description is that?
I think I just said, what would he look... Well, all right.
You mean if he was black?
Yes, that's what I meant. What would Barack Obama look like if he... Not if he was black, but what would Barack Obama look like if he was white?
No, that's not what this looks like. It looks like, to me, what George Bush would look like if he were black.
Yeah, and Barack Obama's brother.
Yeah, and Barack Obama's brother.
What if he were white and Barack Obama's brother?
Then he'd be Dick Cheney. So,
what'd you say that?
Aren't they long-lost cousins or something? You know, it's pretty whack, some of this genealogy stuff, this work they do, because we find out that people that are related to each other, Cheney and Obama, are you kidding?
Yeah, that's a slave-master relationship.
You can't say that, man. They might have been like friends or something.
Well.
What?
Well, it's hardly likely. Don't you think that it's probably more of a slave...
I would think so. I would think so, that... If they go back that far, I don't know, where do they find the link-up? Where's the link-up, Phil? That's what, when you talk about genealogy, where is the link-up? Where is the crux, the jontokulumutotokuya, which means where is the way?
Did you just make that up?
Yes, I did, but it's, never mind.
Okay, so we don't have to do French, Margaret. We can say...
It sounds more legitimate.
Okay. I don't know if it occurred back in the 19th century. Fairly recently, we don't know. But I would think if we're talking about a white man and a black man, or a white individual and a black individual, having some sharing bloodlines, generally, my mind immediately goes to the slave-owning era of America and colonial America. It's unfortunate. It's... twisted and weird, but hey, you know what? The world is made of these things. Such is the story of the human race. You know, going back thousands of years, the kinds of the kinds of ways that the human race became interrelated, we wouldn't even want to recount. There were wars, there were rapes, there were ravishings, there were families, there was this, there was that. There's all kinds of ways that the human race got together, and that's probably just the way it's going to continue on into the future. So, but here's the thing. The picture of George W. Obama, as they're calling it, this picture of President Bush and Obama, ran on the front page of the Huffington Post this week, accompanying an article about the National Security Agency announcing a court order asking Verizon to hand over all phone calling records for a three-month period. The Verizon action was part of a wide-ranging program of warrantless spying that has continued from the Bush administration through Obama's two terms, despite the fact that Obama once spoke out against such programs. Now, I'm not going to get into a big song and a dance about this, because this is a political thing that if you're grown up enough and you're an adult, you know, and you know and you know that you're a member, a citizen of a country, and you have a president that is sworn to protect the country, that I don't know that I would want that president doing anything other than protecting the country. If that means he's carrying on the policies of his predecessor and flying in the face of things that he said he would do, you don't think Obama doesn't know that he's taking a chance there?
I thought you said you weren't going to do hard news.
Yeah, there you are doing it, and you said you wasn't going to do it.
Well,
yeah, man, just because you were interested in a picture, you shouldn't talk about a picture. And you were doing fine with a bloodline, now you're talking politics.
Well, I mean, that's not politics, is it? It's just me talking about how, you know, the presidents and Obama.
Well, it is politics in that it pisses a lot of people off. The minute you say the name Barack Obama, you're going to piss. It's like playing... Remember when you put the hip-hop video on Facebook today?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see, hip-hop videos are like Facebook speed traps. They immediately get all the racism.
Well, it's true. I can't deny what Bud just said.
What did he say?
You didn't hear him.
I don't understand what he said.
He said a hip-hop video is like a Facebook speed trap.
What's that mean?
It means when you put a hip-hop video up on Facebook, especially if you're a white guy like me doing a talk show, white folks, they just show their colors. I mean, the minute...
Yeah, just show that they're colored.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, you did.
No, I did not. I said it shows their colors. Shows that they're colored. These folks can't resist their little Ebonics slam. And so there is this hip-hop video, Molly, and these guys are all just, you know, yeah, man. I'm like four or five guys in a row. It's hysterical. So that's why I call a hip-hop video is like a Facebook speed trap. When Obama is the same almost. All you have to say is the name, man, and he might be doing the greatest thing in the history of the world. Ain't one person's going to come. First of all, the Democrats that supported him, they're going to say he's a scumbag because he's doing George Bush's policies, and how dare he do that. The conservatives and the Republicans and all those guys, they can't bring themselves to say anything good about Obama. They just cannot do it because they're too invested in him being a commie and a socialist and a jackass. This is a period of time where we have a man. I think we got a president working hard, and we got a lot of dumb Americans.
You just undid months of good work you were doing by not doing politics, by saying what you just said. Dumb Americans, and I just heard Dan say, let's break. Do you have to break?
Did you say break, Dan? Do we have to break, or can't we just blow off the commercial? No, I'm just kidding. No. We'll be right back.
Yeah, just let's not break it all and just keep blowing on through the commercial.
No. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, and I'll try to get my head straight here.
Truth,
get your head straight,
is our
will you?
Bitch.
You gotta get your head around,
the Phil
man.
Henry Show.
Yeah, get your mind straight.
I'm gonna kick your ass, bud, I swear. Larry Grover, conservatives of Kern County, will join us as we talk here more about the George W. Obama picture. And Larry joins us from Culver City this evening at the Culver Mall there. Larry, how are you doing tonight?
Doing good and trying to get a little bit of shopping out of the way here tonight.
Did you see the article of the George? What do you think of this George W. Obama picture?
Well, I think that it is an accurate portrayal of what Obama is doing, and I know that so many of your friends there on the left side of the aisle, so many of your leftist friends, are very upset with Obama, and they feel that he is selling out the left-wing side. But I will tell you that I believe he's sold out America insofar as he is following the George Bush plan by way of subpoenaing the wide-ranging phone program, and yet he still wants to shut Guantanamo down. Based upon that and other things that he's done, I still don't like him, and under the Obama administration, doing it sort of like the Bush administration on steroids, this order here is about as broad as it can possibly get when it comes to focusing on personal. There's no warrant. There's no suspicion. There's no probable cause. I mean, this is right out of East Germany. And
yet this is a George Bush policy.
Well, when George Bush did it, George Bush originated it, okay?
Yeah.
And as such, it was his brainchild. Now Obama doing it, it looks like he's trying to copy him. Now, I know that he is copying him because that's what you're supposed to do. If you have the law and you enforce or enact the law, you're copying what the guy that created the law, wants you to do.
Well, what's wrong with that? This is Margaret, Larry. What's wrong with that?
I don't like it. I guess there's nothing wrong with it, but I hate like hell for Obama to be copying. Let me just look at this article again.
Did you read the article?
Hold on. I've been out since 2 o'clock this afternoon, Phil. It is on the West Coast. It's 11:30 right now. We just got out of a movie that was so lousy, I can't even tell you the name of it, that Mother wanted to see. And she wants to go, and now she wants to go and get a Baskin-Robbins. So that's what we're going to do.
Well, you're out at a movie with your mom, huh?
Yeah, I mean, we had dinner. We had dinner over at P.F. Chang's, and then we went and saw this movie. What was it called?
Paper Plate.
The Paper Plate. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I haven't.
Who was in it, Mother?
Graham Luton.
Who?
He's never heard of it.
Larry, you were in the movie with me.
I know I was in the movie with you, Mother, but I have to be honest with you. I avoided it because there was a lot of nudity.
Oh, God. I'm going to go get a Baskin-Robbins.
Yes, I would. I'd like a sassafras.
Woo!
Oh, don't give me that, okay?
Larry, we're on the air.
Okay, I got to talk to Mr. Henry.
What do you want?
A sassafras.
I bet they don't have it.
Then get me a moose tracks.
The one that...
Okay, Phil, I'm sorry.
Sassafras, huh?
What, are you going to make a big deal out of it? I, We've had a tough day, if you don't mind.
No, that's okay. So, Obama, I believe that Obama doing what President Bush did, I think this is these are just responsible presidents who are looking to protect the country.
Now, hold on for a minute. What do you kids want? No, I haven't got any money for magazines. Get out of here. Don't bother me, kid. Don't hang on my leg, okay? Get off my leg. Hold on, Phil. The kid's on my leg. Get off my leg! Get off my... Is this your kid, brother? He's hanging all over my leg. Get him off of me! Get him off!
What the hell is going on there?
Larry!
What was that?
The kid, there's a little three-year-old kid suddenly just attached himself to my leg. God! I gotta get out of here. Let me move over to a central area here in the mall where I can be seen and you know, you're safer in crowds, that's what they say.
Well, what happened?
I don't know, but it seems to me that this group of kids, they had a little three-year-old, and I think what they were trying to do was roll me. And
roll you?
Yes. In other words, they wanted to mass mug me, and they got the kid on my leg, and while I was trying to get the kid off of me, I put my hand instinctively on my rear end, because that's where I keep my wallet.
On your butt?
No, in a pocket, okay? But I instinctively... Here, they're coming back now. Yeah, hey, how you doing? Yeah, nice weather we're having. You bet. Okay, they're gone.
Wait, these people just tried to rob you.
That's what I think.
And now you're going, hey, how you doing, huh?
Well, in case they forgot who I was. So I put my hand...
All right, let's get back to the article, please.
Yeah, fine. What an ass.
Yeah, he's carrying a rag a little bit today.
What's with the rag, okay?
Hey, Larry, this is Robert.
Yeah, Robert, how you been?
I'm doing fine. Listen, Phil is doing a good job. Phil, you're doing a good job.
Thank you very much.
All right, well...
Hold on, we got to take a break. World-famous Phil Hendry Show with Larry Grover at the Culver Mall as we talk about the George W. Obama creepy picture. Coming up, we'll have that Scarlett Johansson news, a suit over a bizarre French book that depicts her doppelganger.
What's that, a sex act?
No, it's not a sex... We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show. No, it's not a sex.
Isn't it oral sex?
No. Doppelganger?
I think it is a sex act.
Phil Hendry.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Thank you very much to Larry Grover. And we got to move on. Please apologize to Mr. Grover for me, bud, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, Larry? Yeah, we got to move on. Why couldn't I have told you before? I don't know.
Boy, one of these days, man.
But why can't you do that quietly?
Because Phil told me.
Yeah, but when I tell you to do something, can you just, hey, Larry, you know, because I got to...
I'm going to go, what, hey, Larry? Boy, that sounds like I'm breathing in his ear. That could be misconstrued.
Only you could misconstrue that, bud. No one else. Only you. Only you would turn that into some kind of a sexual harassment rap. In any event, oh, you know what we didn't do? We did not suspend our normal broadcast here off of Phil Hendry Radio. We have to do that. Good God. Although I think it probably doesn't. Does it last forever?
What do you mean, does it last forever?
I think we've been on Phil Hendry Radio, and we should not have been on Phil Hendry Radio. So why don't we? I have to just do one thing here, folks. I got to stop the live stream there. And then I have to close this, and then I have to start it over here. I apologize, folks. There we go. So that should be the classic?
That should be the archive streaming at Phil Hendry Radio right now.
Yeah. What we usually do is we usually have a live stream of the audio of our pre-show at Phil Hendry Radio, and we forgot to do that, Robert.
I don't know what my job.
Well, I don't know whose job it is. It isn't mine, but it seems to me you should hire someone, Phil, who is an overall technical director here at the location, so that Dan Northcraft, who is at the location of the control room, well, he can't do it anyway, can he?
I don't think so, because he's up in the control room, which is in another city.
So, all right, so he doesn't...
Yeah, his arms can't reach down.
I know his arms can't reach down. So then what do you do?
I've got to hire someone who works here, technically, which we don't need, really. had I remembered to do that, and I forgot to do it. It should be something that is automatic as I work. Anyway, folks, sorry to have to keep talking. You know, can we get this stuff out of the way while I'm off the air instead of talking about it on the air?
You're the guy that started to talk about it.
I know, but I would have liked to have had one of you two nuts go over, turn off the streaming, and turn on the thing. So the other thing...
What?
To turn off the thing... Never mind.
Turn off the thing... What's the thing?
Turn off what I was doing and then turn on the other thing. Oh, man.
Phil, you see, if you can't say what you don't mean, you'll never mean...
Can't say what you mean, you'll never... If you can't... Oh,
forget it. Forget it. You see, that was a quote that I always loved from the last emperor. If you don't say what you mean, you'll never mean what you say. That's it. If you don't say what you mean, you'll never mean what you say.
And what does that mean?
It means that if you don't use the right word, if you don't say properly the thing what you want to...
Nice grammar.
You're telling me? Boy.
Yeah, bud, you talk like you got the Gloyd gene.
You do, bud.
I talk like I got a Gloyd gene. If I talk like I got a Gloyd gene, you must have a gene of an idiot.
Wow, what a put down, man.
Not much of a put down.
I think it is.
Okay, are you done? Are you done?
Well...
He has the gene of an idiot. You have the Gloyd gene.
I think my put-down's better.
Whatever.
I don't.
Fine.
I think Roberts was better.
Great. Scarlett Johansson. What do you think of Scarlett Johansson, Margaret?
Scarlett Johansson is absolutely the most gorgeous, talented young actress in Hollywood today. She is a revelation. I don't think there are too many actresses or actors... Who, first of all, look as good as she does on camera. She's just stunning. And we just saw, Frank and I just saw her in the Hitchcock film.
Oh, she was in that.
Yes, she played Janet Leigh.
That's the movie about Alfred Hitchcock. Sorry.
So she played Janet Leigh in that film. I remember her being in the film. I forgot she played Janet Leigh, and she did look great. She looked fantastic.
Janet Leigh never looked that good. But beyond that, Scarlett Johansson is a terrific young actress, and I only see her getting better. She really is just one of those great superstars.
Now, what is this thing, this doppelganger thing?
Well, what this is, the first thing we look at is a film, I think. It features a Scarlett Johansson doppelganger. She's not happy. Scarlett Johansson is suing, it's not a film, it's a book. She's suing a French publisher over the use of her likeness in a book. Now, according to French radio RTL, Johansson, which is the French pronunciation, or Johansson, filed a lawsuit against J.C. Latte for exploitant her likeness. Okay?
Can we not do so much French?
Oh, you've got the anti-French thing going, huh? What, do you want to call them freedom fries?
No, Margaret, I don't... But when you said her lickness.
Did you hear him laugh like a hand-wiping, hand-wringing lech?
Well, you said lickness.
That is the French pronunciation.
All right. We don't need the French pronunciation of the word likeness. Because all we're getting then is a misunderstanding. So according to French Radio RTL...
All right, fine. According to French Radio RTL... Johansson filed a lawsuit against J.C. Latte for exploiting her likeness, God, in the first thing we look at. Now, the French novel depicts a woman falling in love with a garage owner who has sex with her in grease on the floor as she screams, oh, God, I'm only kidding.
Don't mess up.
I'm sorry. No, it depicts, the French novel depicts a woman falling in love with a garage owner who believes she is the Avengers actress, Scarlett Johansson. Later in the book, it's revealed she is not, in fact, Johansson, but rather a doppelganger named Jeanine Fauclopot. Now,
what is the name?
Jeanine, well, this is a fictitious person, so it doesn't matter. Fauclopot. See? F-O-U.
Hey, look at that.
If you grab, I will geld you alive.
Sorry.
F-O-U-C-A-P-R. Okay, Fauclopot.
Well, I did it better, but okay. Delacorte denied to RTL the book was opportunistic. It is a bit silly to say that if you talk about a person, the courts have to get involved. That's quite sad. According to the Hollywood Reporter, author Gregor Delacorte defended his book to the French paper La Figaro. Do you know the La Figaro?
Yeah, that's the national newspaper of France.
Yes, but it was also in the Mozart play. Figaro, 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 sold American. You remember that?
No, I don't.
What are you laughing at?
I don't. No, I don't. I don't. I remember a Mozart opera about a man measuring his bed, right?
A man measuring his bed?
Yeah. Wasn't that Figaro?
We're not talking about the street in downtown L.A., Phil.
I know we're not talking about Figueroa. We're talking about Figaro.
Figaro. This is an opera. Figaro, 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 Figaro. You don't know that, huh?
No, I don't. I mean, I know the Figaro, but...
Not Figaro. It's La Figaro, you see. And, gosh, I wish that I... Bobby Dooley went with me. We were there in... We were in France 2 years ago. And can you get Ms. Dooley on the phone for me?
You and Bobby, huh?
Yes, and we went as part of the Sisters Under One Hood. And what it was a charity effort on behalf of gangs and on behalf of the different gangbangers. Not gang, I shouldn't say gangbanger. It was a charity that sought to support gangs from being gangs, keep them away from being, I guess, what they themselves. Bobby, dear, are you there?
Oh, hi, Mother. How are you?
I'm good. Remember when we were in Paris?
Oh, how can I forget? We had a great time.
Well, we went to the opera.
Oh, we went and saw Mozart. That's right.
Yes. And what was the song?
Well, you, I remember, began to sing Figaro, Figaro.
Yeah, we're talking about that, Bobby. Do you remember the name of the opera?
Well, it was the Opera House.
No, I know it's the Opera House there in the Opera District.
Right. And it was in a part of Paris, Phil, that they call the assignment or something.
No, those are the districts, dear, of the city, but the Opera District.
Yes.
The opera was Mozart, right?
Well, I remember it was Mozart, and you were singing Figaro. I don't do it as good as you, but you were going Figaro, Figaro. And about halfway through the first act, they asked us to leave.
Yes.
And we went across the street to have, we had a snow cone, and then we had some snails, because I said I wanted to have snails.
Yes, because that's what you've got to have when you're in France.
Yes. So I had some snails and a snow cone, and then I said I wanted to have wine, because everyone talks about wine.
We did. We have, how many bottles did we have?
We had about 4 bottles of wine. And I remember I vomited.
Oh, you poor thing.
It was, but we had so much fun, Phil.
All right, but you guys didn't stay for the whole opera.
No, we didn't, because they asked us to leave because we were talking about it. They're very anti-American in France. There's no getting around it.
They really are, Phil. We were talking. Now, I know you don't want to talk in the middle of a performance, but that's movies. They always tell you to be quiet in the movies, right, Margaret?
They do. Not... Excuse me.
You're excused.
Not in an opera.
Okay, I'm going to let you go, Bobby.
Why?
Because I have to deal with this.
You have to deal with what?
You belching. I don't like it.
I was thinking back on when we had the garlic snails, and it caused a sympathetic belch. You are very, very backward, Phil. You don't get it about food, about travel, and that a belch oftentimes... is the epitome of femininity and ladylike behavior. I'm Margaret Gray.
Oh, so does that mean...
Yes, we're finished.
I got to tell you, Margaret, and I've talked to David about this, and he agrees with me, okay?
About what?
About when you say, I'm Margaret Gray, then the conversation has to end. He agrees that it is unfair of you to leave a conversation hanging like that.
I didn't leave anything hanging. I said, I'm Margaret Gray.
Yeah, but he doesn't feel it's fair... that when you say I'm Margaret Gray, we have to stop talking about the topic.
I locked it out.
Yes, you locked it out. Now you're not going to lock it out.
I had to lock you out, man, you know?
Lock you out. Well, start the show and lock you out.
Yeah, you get locked out.
All right, we'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Scarlett Johansson, by the way, I don't see what's wrong with a guy writing a book and including in that book a reference to a popular popular celebrity, a figure of the contemporary times. Are they nuts? Boy, France, man, what a bunch of Nazis. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Those French are Nazis. I was reading it.
The Marriage of Figaro. That's the I think it's the name of the play, based on a stage comedy by Pierre Beaumarchais. What did Mozart put this to? His earlier play, The Barber of Seville, had already made a successful transition to opera in a particular version by an Italian guy whose name I can't pronounce here. But it is a opera, a comic opera composed in 1786 in four acts by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, with a libretto in Italian by Lorenzo De Ponte, based... What are you looking at, bud?
What is that?
Yeah, what's that mean?
What does what mean?
Will you let him finish?
Yeah, but what does that mean, a libretto?
I don't know, dude. It's the words. Ain't that what it is?
Ain't that what it is? God Almighty, I'm sitting here. When I talk about culture with you three, it's as if I'm sitting in mule dung. It's as if... Go ahead, Margaret. Sit down in that hay that a donkey just let one go in. Sit comfortably in it, and let's talk culture. That's how I feel. That's how defiled I feel. That's how befouled I feel.
Well, Margaret, I'm so sorry. I'm so, so sorry.
Your sarcasm will not help.
Well, what do you want me to do? Okay, we're doing a radio show here. This is not the culture review here. You know, I'm not sitting here, and now here's Margaret Gray to tell us about the fine things in life.
Well, I wish you would. You know that I've been campaigning with David Hall for the longest time to do a culture report. I want to go to the opera. I want to go and see the plays. I want to...
What about go? You can go do the zoo.
What do you mean, the zoo? God, I hate you.
What do you mean?
The zoo, bud? Are you kidding? That's not culture. That's...
It's not?
No, it's not. It's going to the zoo.
I hate him. Is there anything we can do about that?
Yeah, you can go to a psychiatrist.
I can go to... What does that mean?
It means it's your problem. Deal with it.
Well, in any event, The Marriage of Figaro was a play, a stage comedy. Now, you're talking about Beaumarchais, the earlier play by the Barber of Seville author. That was a biggie. That was huge. And anyway, it went Figaro, Figaro. I thought you were going to look it up on YouTube.
No, I'm not going to waste my time, okay? So thank you very much, Margaret. Can we move on now?
Waste your time.
Yeah, because we have other fish to fry, baby, as the saying goes, huh? Other fish to fry. Remember, at PhilHenryShow.com, you can fry some fish. You can fry fish and listen to our classic podcast, listen to our daily show podcast, watch our daily archive of the video cast. You can watch the video cast live as well as hear the audio of the show. If you have a mobile device, we are available on your mobile device, your iPhone, your smartphone, your dumb phone, your the phone that just never really kept up in school. Whichever phone you got that phone, and you'll find us mobile on it at philhenryshow.com. And by the way, have we rolled out our mobile site yet?
I just was going to ask you if we rolled it out.
I'm asking you.
Well, I think we probably should have. They're doing a little bit of tweaking, and then they're going to have it.
Right, because we had a group of our BSPs test the mobile site. They made their recommendations, and very, very shortly, we will have that. Now, once that's done, then we are going to be providing the Phil Henry Radio feature at philhenryshow.com. So essentially what will happen is this. You can go into the archives and explore, or you can use a radio feature on our website and just listen to that day's featured live stream, all of that a part of your backstage pass at philhenryshow.com. So there's lots to explore, lots to do, and lots of stuff, and ain't that just groovy. Next week we have a major press announcement, Margaret?
Yes, I've been in touch with Amir Forrester, who is the press relations person for the Phil Henry Show, and she assures me that this will be a major announcement, and that, I don't know.
Right, because Amir's writing it.
Yeah, why didn't I get to write it?
You know, because she's worked for me for a long time. I don't want to get into an argument with you. Margaret, she's writing it. All right, former Miss Alabama USA Catherine Webb is speaking up about reports that she's engaged to her quarterback boyfriend, A.J. McCarron. We're doing great, she said in an interview, but when asked if she was getting ready to walk down the aisle with McCarron, she said, what aisle? And they said, ha, 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 you know what we mean. What are you doing?
I want to see if that's in there.
It's not. I'm joking.
Why you gotta do that?
Don't grab the copy. How many times have I told you guys?
So you're going to carve this news story up, and I've got to just take a wild guess.
Just go with the flow, will you? When asked if she was getting ready to walk down the aisle, she said, "No, but I'm getting ready to walk off a cliff."
I'm going to get it. Yeah, okay.
Who are you talking to?
David.
And what did he say?
Now you're beeswax.
Don't you dare talk to me like that.
Just checking some stuff.
Just checking some stuff, huh?
Yeah.
Anyway, so the former Miss America, Miss Alabama, I should say, was talking with the news reporters. They said, "Are you going to get ready to walk down the aisle?" And she said, "No, but I talk any longer to you guys, and I'm getting ready to walk to a gun shop, buy one, load it, and blow my brains out." Oh, that's real funny, huh?
David said.
Yeah, Mr. Hall just called up with it.
Well, Phil, you only bring it on yourself. David said to go to the cricket. He said, "Go to the crickets," and that's what we're doing.
So, in other words, David, wherever you are, I can't do a couple of gags. Everything's going to stiff, huh?
Just pick it up, will you?
Don't tell me to pick it up. So anyway, when asked... All right, I already did that. So Catherine Webb denies sticking to a strict 1,100-calorie diet a day? You're kidding. 1,100... Why are you hitting the crickets now?
That wasn't funny.
It's not supposed to... Turn it off, bud. That wasn't supposed to be funny.
I'm talking 1,100 calories a day, man. I'm doing 2,000. Webb had recently been photographed... sporting a massive diamond sparkler on her ring finger, but claims it is not an engagement ring. She got it in a box of Cracker Jacks. All right. You know something, man. Turn it off. I won't do any more. Right now, I'm just really focusing on doing more charity work. I have more of a platform to be able to do that than any talent to do acting or modeling. So thank God. Engaged or otherwise, we're glad to hear that the beautiful couple...
Sorry.
Engaged or otherwise, we're glad to hear the beautiful couple are still an item. So says the news site Ass News. I don't know.
It's Lily Harrison, I think, is the writer.
Lily Harrison, great. Your thoughts?
Well, I think it gets a little much when they say, "Oh, are you married yet? Are you married?" Look at members of the Fifth Estate, my brothers and sisters, don't make a story where there is no story. If A.J. McCarron is going to marry her, he'll let you know. She's sporting the big ring. Three guesses and the first two don't count. What a bunch of... I swear you guys are like little girls holding hands, powdered cheeks, breeches very tight around the crotch. I don't know.
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Not expected.
Yeah, it was real funny, man.
Phil Hendry.
We got Larry Grover with us here, and Larry is back with us from the Culver Mall because you wanted to talk to us about President Obama's surveilling, his use of these surveillance records, and so we're going to get to that.
Well, I think that, you know, you cut me off. And
I didn't cut you off, Larry. You know, we ran out of time, but we'll get to you in a moment. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, wherever, could you put him on hold, please?
Yeah.
877-876-7. Put him on hold, please.
Go there. Mother got ice cream.
Yeah.
Don't you know where the hold button is?
Yeah, it's right there.
Then why didn't you push it?
I didn't hear. Did you want me to?
All right, so welcome to the Phil Hendry Show. And it is on this show and only on this show where I have a guy here at the broadcast site, Bud Dickman, who doesn't know what buttons work what, but... Hey, ain't it a beautiful thing? All right, Larry Grover's on the line with us. We're going to talk to him about President Obama defending his decision to, you know, authorize this phone and internet surveillance. So we'll get to Larry here in a moment. And, of course, we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Good to be with you guys. We'll be on till 1 o'clock here on the West Coast. It is a Saturday morning. It's always a blessed thing in our world. I know it is in yours. We did respond to some mail that we got. Phil, on your video cast, we constantly see the boom on your microphone, the shadow of the boom fall across your face. And we were thinking, could Margaret sing a song called The Shadow of Your Boom to the shadow of a smile or something? What does he say?
Shadow of the smile.
Well, I saw that. The shadow of the boom, it goes kaboom. Did they want me to change the lyrics?
Yeah, they said, could you have Margaret sing The Shadow of the Boom with, a lyrical shift of some kind here. And this is from Kay and Bill Kaiser in Vladim, Wisconsin.
The shadow of the boom drops across Phil's face. Better that than some things we've seen drop across, you know, faces. I don't know.
Well, why did you go for that?
It was the first thing that came to mind, Phil. Are you going to make a big deal out of it?
Yeah, Ms. Gray, that's kind of obscene, though.
What is obscene? It's not obscene if you don't treat it obscene. Phil, it goes like this.
Now, I heard the shadow of the boom drops across my face. Better that than some other things that drop across faces.
Yes, except I didn't do this. I didn't go, better that than some things that cut the faces. I didn't do that, did I?
No.
All right. What I did was I tried to romanticize it and give it a lilting feel. The shadow. You remember when Dusty who? Rhodes?
Dusty Rhodes. You mean the disc jockey? Dusty Springfield.
Dusty Springfield. Dusty Rhodes was a disc jockey, huh?
Yeah.
Dusty. Oh, who was Dusty Street?
Dusty Street was a disc jockey. The Dusty Rhodes and the Dusty Street that I knew were both disc jockeys. There was a Dusty Rhodes that was a wrestler.
Yeah, that's the guy that I knew.
Okay.
You didn't know him, man. You just heard about him.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, we had a Dusty Rhodes at K-West, and Dusty Street was at K-Rock, and she also was at KMET. And anyway, so...
Yes, anyway, so the shadow of that boom flops across Phil's face. Can you imagine if something else flopped?
Across his face.
Yes.
Why are you making that kind of filthy reference?
I'm not. I'm trying to write the song that your little fans wanted. You know something? Forget it.
Toilet?
Yes. Where's the paper?
I haven't unwrapped it. It's in the bag near the kitchen.
Thank you.
I have to say, Margaret, you've been taking fewer and fewer trips to the bathroom.
Yeah, well, that could change.
What does that mean?
In other words, if I up my lettuce consumption.
Yeah, okay. Wow. Anyway, Larry Grover joining us from the Culver Mall tonight. Larry, President Obama has strongly defended phone and internet surveillance. Your take?
Well, I think it's, yeah, sure. Yeah, right, President Obama. You know, you defend the internet and the phone surveillance now. And yet, from the time that he stepped onto the national stage, he presented himself as a civil libertarian who would take a different path from that of his predecessor, who offered surveillance on Americans in the fight against terrorism. It's time to write a new chapter in our response to 9/11. Obama said in a 2007 speech, and now, this week, a massive phone and internet data collection program illustrated that as President Obama's allowed the government to sweep up vast amounts of information about its citizens while establishing some checks on executive power, you know.
All right. Now, my question is this. You know, you're a Bush supporter, and...
Yes, I am. I'm absolutely a George Bush supporter, but let me...
Hold on for a minute now. Hold on for a minute, okay? If President Obama... is continuing a policy that President Bush felt was an essential policy and instrument to protect this country, you as a conservative should only have good things to say about President Obama.
No, that's not true, because Obama said when he was running for office...
It doesn't make any difference what he said. Let me ask you a question, okay?
Well, can I finish a thought here, Phil? When Obama said that he would not do this and he would write a new chapter, I did not like it. because I'm a conservative and I wanted a strong country, and Obama was making sounds like he wanted to weaken the country. Now that he is continuing the policies of President Bush, I have to tell you, I also don't like it. And I'll tell you why. Because he said he was going to do the other, he was going to be less government. All right? And I didn't like that, but he did change his mind, and that's why I didn't like it. And I know it sounds stupid, you know?
Yeah, Larry, it does. It sounds so asinine. It's another thing that I think impinges on the credibility of conservatives who've already lost the momentum.
What do you mean, hold on. What do you want? Well, I don't care, because I'm not leaving here, no. I've been run out of every area. The bathroom's left. This is where I'm going to work. I'm in the men's room, and these guys are telling me to move away from the sink. No, I'm not. Well, why don't you go take a dump? You can take a dump out in the street for all I care.
Hey, Larry.
Hold on for a minute, huh? Out in the street. Yeah. Squat in the gutter and leave it there. I don't care. I'm not budging. I've been pushed around. Well, you can tell your mother that, yeah. That's your kid brother? Did you tell him to put his pants back up? What are you guys doing walking around here with your pants down? I know it's a public restroom. Hey, you know what? You and your kid brother could go straight to the devil. I don't give a damn. I hope he dies. Yeah? Oh, I hope your kid brother dies. All right. It's okay, Phil.
God, what was that about?
These punks come in here. Oh, they're still here, huh? What? Yeah. Oh, is that your sister? I thought it was your brother. Yeah, you too, buddy. And these punks come in here, and they think they own the restroom, and they said, hey, Mac, move. We're washing our hands. I said, I'm not moving anything. I said, I've been kicked out of every area of this mall. Mother's over getting a Baskin-Robbins, and she had to get another one, so I said I'd meet her here in the men's head, or outside the men's head. And these guys come in here, and I said, go out in the street and squeeze one off. I'm not leaving this stall.
Well, what are you doing in a bathroom stall?
I set up in here to do the interview with you. This is the only place I can get some peace and quiet.
All right, so getting back to President Obama, you are in favor of President Bush's...
Yeah, hold on, Phil. I'm in favor of Bush's policies, but I'm not in favor of Obama doing Bush's policies.
Why not?
What is it with you with why? Why do you always ask why? Can't I just say that that's what I'm going to do?
If this is an interview, I'm going to ask you why you have the opinions that you have. Maybe you're not very consistent when it comes to your philosophy.
This is a very unseemly and very predictable line of questioning, I think, Phil, from you. You know, I just think it's unfair.
I'd like an answer to my question. Why is it that President Obama, executing the policies of President Bush, continuing the policies of President Bush, why is this not okay with conservatives?
Because he's copying President Bush. It wasn't his idea, okay?
So? So what? If it's a good idea, don't you think he should use it?
I think he very much should use it. I do. But it always makes me laugh when I see Obama say, hey, mother, I'm in here. You don't yell when I'm on the air. Huh? Well, go get another. Good God. Go get another one, mother.
Hey, Larry, I'm going to have to hang up.
Hold on. Get another one. If you want another sugar cone, go get another one. They don't have to put ice cream in it. Mother wants to get another sugar cone. Go get another one, then. Yeah. So, where was I?
You're talking about how Obama has no right to continue the policies of George Bush, even though they're good policies.
Well, there's that kid. Hold on for a minute. Watch this. Hey, kid. Kid, you want a candy? Yeah? Have you ever seen a man's... here comes his brother. Never mind.
What are you doing, man?
No, this kid's asking for it.
No, wait. What were you just doing?
Just the kid's asking for it. His brother sent him over. Him and all of his brothers have been walking through here with their pants down for the last half hour. Now the kid came around here again. I wasn't going to do anything.
God, you know, you got to watch that, man. You're on the air.
I know I'm on the air. I'm trying to get this report done, and here comes this brat. The brothers sent him in here, and they're standing outside, and they're playing squirrel. They're squirreling around. So I said to Bill Needleman with the conservatives of Kern County, I said, if Obama figures he's going to get away with this one, he must be high on a mixture of chemicals, because President Bush is the guy that started this, now Obama.
if either the policy is a good policy or it's not. And the thing that I find very disingenuous, and I think there's a stronger word that should apply, hypocritical, is that the only criticism being brought against Obama now is that, well, he said one thing in a campaign, now he's doing something else. The question is it a good policy? Is it effective, and is he correct in pursuing it?
Yes, he is.
Then why criticize him because he happens to go back on something he said in the campaign?
Because...
Especially you as a conservative.
Because it is wrong. You know, I got to get a cream soda.
You can't answer it?
Yes, I can, but I need to go buy... I got to buy some bobby pins.
For yourself?
Yeah, for myself. And I'll get back to you. This thing has so upset me. The kid coming in here, and then mother with her sugar comb, and some of these guys are giving... They were roughing me up in the bathroom stall. I thought I was going to be raped. And I hate to say that, but I really...
All right, we'll be right back. We have to take a break. Larry Grover with horse dung there. You know what? If Obama is continuing a policy that he feels is essential for the safety of our country, then we all ought to be getting behind it. If you're a Democrat and a liberal, you know, welcome to the world, man. What the hell do you think people have been saying? Here's a cat that was considered a progressive candidate from the Democratic Party for President of the United States. He's a pragmatic man. I don't think anybody has given him credit for that. A very pragmatic, the way all presidents should be. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is giving an opinion. Makes the me Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here at the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and on Phil TV right now we have a bit of video from YouTube on the X-47B, which is a drone. It is a stealth-shaped single wing, in other words, flying wing drone, about 20 feet across. And they're giving this thing the thumbs up, though, Dan, like there's a pilot in this thing. I don't know if you're seeing this, but the X-47B is a drone. And these drones, while people obviously have criticized the effectiveness of them and, well, the effectiveness, they've criticized the fact that some drones have been responsible for attacks on civilian targets. Maybe there have been mistakes either made by the operators or perhaps it was just collateral injury, you know. But... it seems to me that this is exactly what the, you know, futurists in the military and others wanted, you know, which is craft weapons that can be used in battle that don't expose humans and simply use the technology. Now this thing's taken off. I should show this. Why is that not... What happened?
Well, I don't know, Phil, but you...
Yeah, well, oh, here it is. Here it is. Shoot. Now it's going to take off. Watch. It's taking off the deck there of the carrier. Now, you know, my question is, it's being operated by a remote control or radio control, I would think. But I wonder, is that a technology that can be easily jammed, you know?
What do you mean by jammed?
By if it is a radio signal... Can't you jam it?
Yeah, you could.
Do you know anything about it, Bud?
No.
Well, you're talking about... Phil, you got the wrong guys here. If you think that that idiot there is going to tell you about drones...
I know about a drone. My brother had a remote control plane.
Well, now, we're not talking about a remote control plane. Something that you're playing with out in the front yard or something.
Yeah. Well, guess what? My brother mounted a camera on it, and he flew it into the Rose Bowl. And you could see it and everything.
The what?
My brother had a remote control plane that was a drone and everything.
What do you mean a drone, Bud?
Well, you could have had a drone. You could have had a bomb on it, but he flew it into the Rose Bowl, and you could see it because he had a camera on it.
He had a camera on a what? A remote control airplane?
Yeah, a drone.
Not a drone, man. It's a remote control airplane.
Well, what is a drone?
A drone's a military weapon, so don't call it a drone. A drone is something that carries armament. It carries some kind of it's a weapon. Your brother had a remote-controlled airplane.
Yeah, but you're making it sound like it's all gay and they're all a bunch of gay idiots.
Well, if the shoe fits.
Yeah, man, your brother's out there with a bunch of geeks.
They're not geeks, man. They're, yeah, they're part of a remote control airplane club.
Well, those cats are, you know, they're okay. They're fine guys, but not military guys.
Anyway, what'd he do?
I told you, idiot.
He went, you called me an idiot.
Hey, hey.
Told you.
What did he do, bud?
He flew it into the Rose Bowl.
What do you mean he flew it into the Rose Bowl?
They're out in a parking lot one day out at the Rose Bowl, and he had a camera on it, and my brother goes, watch this. I was down there with him and everything. I brought, I shouldn't say, but I went and got some PBR because that's what they wanted me to get. And
oh, so you were down there drinking beer and flying an airplane into the Rose Bowl. Was this a little tiny play plane?
What do you mean a play plane?
Was there a pilot?
Well, there was a little plastic guy.
Not a plastic. Was there a real pilot?
Yeah.
Who?
My brother.
Not the remote, you jackball. Was there a... Did you have a little... Well, you couldn't have had a little man in it, could you?
Maybe.
No, you can't. How big is a guy gonna... You can't squeeze a guy to that. All right.
Well, how big was the plane, Phil?
It's a little tiny remote control airplane. Okay?
And they don't put pilots in those.
If it's a remote control airplane that you buy at a toy store...
Well, I didn't know.
You going to put a little tiny man in there?
I don't know.
Well, I can just take it from me. No, you're not. It's remote control by a guy. You know, this was Bud's brother.
Yeah, so my brother's at his truck. So they put a camera on it. And my brother goes, I'm going to fly it into the Rose Bowl and then we'll look at it.
What do you mean, look at it?
Well, he had a camera on a plane and then he had a TV remote. A TV monitor.
Oh, cool, man. So they dial that in. They can see what a plane, what it looked like?
Yeah, as it was flying up. So anyway, they took off with it, and it flew way up and everything, and I could see it. And then my brother goes, okay, bombs away, yeah, you know. And I go, just dive bomb it, man. And it's like, right into the grass.
Oh, isn't that just intelligent?
Bet you look bitching, though.
Yeah, I look totally bitching.
Okay, great. I mean, whatever.
Well, you talk about a drone.
Well, is that what our military, do we have our young men and women... out there in the Gulf going, ooh, let's watch it go bleh.
Obviously not, Margaret. Obviously those young people are engaged in deadly serious business with deadly serious weapons on those drones. They don't have a remote-controlled airplane with a little camera on it, and they're flying into the turf of the Rose Bowl.
You're making it sound like it's gay.
It is, man. It's the stupidest thing I ever heard.
No, it ain't.
It's a little silly. How old's your brother?
23.
You know, don't you think at 23 there's maybe some things we can do? If he wants to fool around with remote-controlled planes, isn't there cooler stuff?
Like what?
I don't know. I mean, maybe they could... Did you see the thing we were doing the other day? These guys at Domino's Pizza, you know, we were talking about it. The Domino's Pizza guys in England are using that helicopter, and they're delivering pizza.
Excuse my language, but my bare rear end. I don't buy it for a minute.
What are you talking about? Looked like it was piping hot fresh and everything.
It looked like a lot of stuff. You can make it look real cool. Are they actually doing it? I mean, obviously they were delivering that.
How do you know that?
Because, first of all, you're not going to make a commercial and devote all of that time to a commercial on some phony baloney. I'm not saying that Domino's is going to be delivering pizzas by way of remote-controlled helicopters. I'm not saying that. Especially that jackass we had on the show who said somebody inadvertently put weaponry on one of them and almost killed a guy that they were delivered a pizza to.
Oh, ha-ha. So you machine-gunned to death a pizza customer. That's good. Well,
that'd be great.
No, it wouldn't be great. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
This show.
Now, okay, Margaret Gray just said something very interesting. Welcome back to the show, folks. And we are going to 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. I hope you have a very, very, I hope you have a really fun weekend. We're going to, I think, maybe hit the beach, although it was cloudy. I went body surfing for the first time in 3 years, 2 weeks ago.
What was that like?
It was fantastic. It was fantastic. I hadn't been out because I'd been such a fat tub that I just avoided going on the beach altogether. And I went out for the first time in 3 years, went body surfing. I had a blast. It was, the water wasn't that cold either. I mean, I'm sure it probably was, but I didn't give a damn. I was just digging it and had a lot of fun. And today, as I was driving home from Santa Monica, I was going north on Pacific Coast Highway, and I looked off to my left along the beach, and it was insane. The waves were completely insane. They looked big. They looked a little sloppy, but I mean, it looked like there was maybe a storm or something going on out there, because all up and down the coast there, Zuma Beach, everything was pretty intense. All right. So what's the problem?
Well, the anti-French attitude on this program has just gone beyond the pale. You're talking, Phil, during the break. And hello, everyone. I'm Margaret Gray.
Why don't you just stop talking now?
Don't be a child, Phil.
Well, that whole lockout thing, you know, I'd like to talk to David about that, if you want to be honest.
Go ahead. Get him on the phone. You think I'm afraid of having David on? I told him I locked, but I want to, before you do that, bud, or before you put him on the air, I want to say a few things here. Phil, you've been on this program, the frogs this, the frogs that, frog, frog, French, French, froggy, froggy, and French, frog, and you keep on with the frog and the French. I think it is very disrespectful. That's number one. Number two, what do you mean the French were selling missiles to Saddam Hussein?
Yes, they were.
And what is your verification of that?
How about the UN itself? How about the United States military when it went in and found what we did find? Well, we didn't find WMDs. We found all kinds of evidence of this scumbag buying weaponry illegally, defying the sanctions and buying these weapons, buying these missiles from the French, from a member in good standing, not only of the United Nations, but a member of the Security Council of the United Nations. The French are selling missiles to Saddam Hussein, in the words of former President Bush. Now, on the line here with me is David G. Hall, and out and about. David, Margaret, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine, Phil. Margaret, how are you?
David, I'm doing good. I know that you have had a problem with Phil and the way he has baited the French. I know what it was. It was the lockout.
Say it again?
Are you driving?
I'm driving, yeah. I'm driving Daphne home right now.
Oh, you're out on a date?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's okay. She's asleep. I got to move her. She fell asleep in my lap. And I'm on the freeway right now, and if I try to move her head, she's either going to bump the steering wheel or she's going to fall on the floor. And if she falls on the floor, her head's going to go down around my feet, and that will press the accelerator, and then we will... I'll find a way around it, but we could die if she presses the accelerator. I'm on PCH right now, about the area where Mel Gibson. Well, never mind. So, what did you want to ask?
No, that's very interesting. I just heard a car door slam.
Yeah, I stopped and I'm picking her up and I'm carrying her out. I'm going to put her in the back seat. So go ahead.
Yes. You remember when we agreed that when I say I'm Margaret Gray, that's the end of discussion?
Yeah, that's the end of the conversation, Phil.
Okay, that's fine. So if I'm talking to her, even if it's in mid-sentence, and she goes, I'm Margaret Gray...
That's the lockout. And I agreed with her that would be a good lockout for you guys to change topics. So if she does that, then you can begin another topic. It doesn't necessarily mean you got to go into break.
Exactly.
All right, so let's just try... So, Margaret, speaking of the French and speaking of their problem with America and America's a seeming hegemonous and aggressive foreign policy, don't you think it's hypocritical of them, you know, to be selling missiles?
I'm Margaret Gray.
All right, now you move on.
What, are you serious?
Did you just hear what I said?
You got to move on now. She said I'm Margaret Gray.
I didn't even finish what I wanted to say.
Well, you're getting a little long-winded, so when she says, I'm Margaret Gray, that's the end of it. You should have gotten it said sooner.
Phil, you've got every opportunity to say what you want to say, and you're sitting there going, and another thing, and another thing, and another. So I finally had to help. The audience is screaming for help. The audience is like, it's like they've got their hands stuck in a garbage disposal, and I must turn it off. So I said, I'm Margaret Gray.
Oh, I see. So the things that I'm saying...
But Phil, don't take it. Don't get your prima donna up in a flood, you know.
I'm not being a prima donna. I didn't finish what I was saying.
Just allow her to lock it out and move on.
All right, so let's talk about this. Nelson Mandela is very ill. He's 94 years of age, and he could pass on. What do you think his legacy will be?
I think it is going to be fantastic. I'm Margaret Gray.
All right, that's perfect.
What's you ought to see him, David. You look like a little boy that got it caught in a zipper.
Is that right?
Yes, you do.
Well, what's wrong, Phil?
What is that, man? Hey, Nelson Mandela, what's his legacy? I think it'll be great. I'm Margaret Gray.
Yeah?
Give me another one.
Give you another one so you can say two words?
No, Phil, give me another one.
President Obama has carried on the policies of George Bush.
I'm Margaret Gray.
Yeah.
So in other words, don't talk about it.
No, she just said, I'm Margaret Gray. Well, how many times have we got to tell you, Phil?
Because I didn't get to say anything.
Are you listening to yourself? You're all, of course she's going to say I'm Margaret Gray, just to help you, so you don't strangle.
Yes, Phil, when you go, I've got to say I'm Margaret Gray, so it gives you a chance to breathe and to swallow the spit that you are otherwise strangling on.
Exactly. Look, I got to go because I just picked Daphne up and dropped her right in this dirt. And now I got to pick her up. I love her. But I didn't tell you, she's got a good-sized rear end on her. I mean, the whole woman, she's beautiful, believe me. I want you to meet her, but she's big. So I got to haul her over my shoulder.
All right, well, look, drive carefully, will you, David?
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Thank you very much, David.
You got it, uh-huh. Come on, baby. Come on, baby.
All right, so that's it, huh?
Well, Phil, that seems to be the only thing.
Yeah, thank God, give it another try.
Scarlett Johansson.
I'm Margaret Gray.
What is that about?
I don't want to talk about Scarlett Johansson.
And what if I do?
I'm Margaret Gray.
So you're running the show now?
No, I'm not running the show. You're the host of the show, Phil. Everyone knows that. What's the name of the show?
Margaret.
What is the name of the show? Bud knows.
Phil Henry Show.
Robert?
Phil Henry Show.
And I know, the Phil Henry Show. What's your problem?
I don't have a problem. I'm trying to say stuff.
I'm Margaret Gray. What are you looking at?
Does that mean I have to change the subject?
What did David just say to you?
She had to change the subject when she goes that I'm Margaret Gray.
Not when I go that I'm Margaret Gray.
Not me, you.
I know that.
You're not calling me Margaret Gray.
No, she's not calling you Margaret Gray.
Did I say you're Margaret Gray?
No.
All right. Go ahead, Phil.
Well, there's nothing that I'm bringing up that you're allowing me to say anything about.
This is the perfect way to keep it moving, keep it rolling. If you're bringing up something that is absolutely dull and would put Rip Van Winkle back into a coma, then, brother, you've got a problem. So the I'm Margaret Gray method reminds you of your responsibility to your audience and not to keep that hand in that garbage disposal with a maniacal look on your face as you keep turning the switch on and going, ha, 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 ha.
Oh, I see.
Phil, I'm Margaret Gray.
No, I mean, she's not trying to get you to move on.
Fine.
I'm Margaret Gray. Move on. Get out of your mood.
All right. All right, so George W. Obama.
I'm Margaret Gray.
It's not clear yet whether the plan for a part of of Colorado to secede...
I'm Margaret Gray.
Get out of here! I'm not going to do this!
My God!
Crazy?
Yeah, you just threw a news copy.
That's right. I'm Margaret Gray. How about if I said I'm Phil Henry every time you opened your mouth?
Every time I open your mouth, you do what?
If I said...
Bear, Mr. Henry...
Every time I open my mouth, you put what in it?
I didn't say that. I said, how about every time you open your mouth?
Yes, and then you smiled.
Yeah.
And then you went, oh. Don't say you didn't, Phil, because I was watching you carefully.
You have got a mind that's in the gutter. Do you know that?
How dare you?
Your mind is in the gutter. I never did any such thing.
Run that by me again. I wasn't looking.
I went, I'm Margaret Gray. And then Phil said, how would you like it if when you opened your mouth, I went, law, law.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
I don't see that either, but it could have happened.
I'm telling you right now, it didn't happen. And the audience knows it didn't happen. And all you're trying to do now is score some cheap points based on your I'm Margaret Gray strategy, which isn't going to work, because your I'm Margaret Gray strategy blows herds and herds of wildebeest, moose.
Any herd animal.
Any herd animal.
Water buffalo.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that pretty much covered for you?
Well, I'd like you to go through another listing of herd animal because...
Never mind. All right. Thank you very much, Margaret. That was really stupid. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show here and philhendryshow.com. Our final segment coming up here on the radio program. Don't forget that after the show, we will post a log, that is a show log, to our website. Tomorrow night, it's the Saturday Night Movie, another double feature that generally starts around 8 p.m. at philhendryshow.com on Phil TV.
Truth is our bitch. The
I'm
Phil
Margaret
Hendry
Gray.
Show.
So, to recap this thing this afternoon in Santa Monica, there were four people killed, according to a story here in at Boston.com, and this moved like 15 minutes ago, this story. Four people. Now, is this the most recent information that we have? And, you know, it says here on CNN, six people dead. When they count the gunman, that just offends me. I don't know why it is. I'm not saying that CNN's doing it in any callous way. I'm just saying, you know, I don't give a damn. How many people were killed that this animal killed? I could give a crap whether you count him in the, well, the fatalities, six people are dead. Well, one of them was killed by the police, and rightfully so. So if you're talking five people are murdered, let's talk about what we're talking about. Six people dead in killing spree, because if you're counting the gunman, he wasn't killed in a killing spree. He was killed by the police trying to, you know, protect people. A man with a semi-automatic rifle killed four people and injured five others Friday as he carried out a deadly rampage across several blocks of a normally idyllic beachfront city, Santa Monica. Police shot him dead at Santa Monica City College. The violence began with a gunman acting alone despite early reports of a possible second shooter, opened fire on a house where two bodies were found, according to the chief of police, Jacqueline Seabrooks, of Santa Monica. Two officials said the killings began as a domestic violence incident, and the victims in the home were the gunman's father and brother. The officials spoke on condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to publicly discuss the case. Only about 20 minutes passed between the first report of trouble and the gunman's death, but it led to hours of fear and confusion in the balmy coastal city of Santa Monica. It's horrific. It's a horrific event everyone wishes didn't happen, Santa Monica Police Spokesman Sergeant Richard Lewis said. 20 minutes between the time he killed his father and brother and the police killed him, and in between, according to this article, four people are killed. And this guy leaves the house and starts to just take out innocent human beings because he's all pissed off at life. And, you know, things just aren't fair. So let's just go out and screw things up for a whole bunch of people. See, this is, like I say, you want to go ahead and ban guns, you be my guest, but... The fact of the matter is, you're going to be taking guns away from people that have never broken a law in their lives. Why? They've used guns legally, and they've used guns properly, and they've used guns within the bounds of the law, and now you're saying, well, let's take the guns away from them anyway. Why is that? Well, because they may kill people. You know, there's no sense at all to this asinine argument. If you want to really do something, let's start talking about mental health. Of course, that would mean national health care, wouldn't it? Well, we don't want to do that either. You know, I'm telling you, there's a certain segment of the electorate that's just paralyzed, and all they want to do is sit on their ass with their thumb parked up their butt and criticize Obama because he's this, that, and something else. But meanwhile, what's your answer? Nothing. Don't give me this stuff about cops.
You're being very political, Phil.
Yeah, man.
All right, well, I want to say the NRA, your solution, put more cops out there. What are you, crazy?
You're being political.
All right. As the house burst into flames, how the hell did it burst into flames?
Well, we do have a time to open fire on that.
What?
Every time you open fire in a house, ain't you never seen it?
Yeah, the ammunition.
The ammunition. As the house burst into flames, the man dressed all in black and wearing what appeared to be a ballistic jacket. What's that mean? Carjacked a woman at gunpoint and directed her to drive to the college campus, having her stop so he could shoot along the way. Holy God! He wounded one woman in a car, left three more women with minor injuries after firing on a city bus, and also fired on police cars, bystanders, and pedestrians. In a faculty parking lot on the edge of the campus, he fired on two people in a red Ford Explorer that crashed through a brick wall. The driver was killed and a passenger critically wounded. From there, the gunman entered the campus, fatally wounding a woman as he made his way toward the college library where students were studying for final exams. We saw a woman get shot in the head. Said the administrative assistant, Trina Johnson. The gunman fired on people in the library, but apparently didn't hit anybody there as dozens ran for the exits. Just 3 miles away, President Obama was attending a fundraising luncheon. The agency was aware of the shooting, which began just before noon, but it had no effect on the president's event. After the gunman was killed, police combed the campus for a possible second shooter. They detained a man, but he was questioned and released and was not a suspect. There it is.
Well, Phil, you're looking all upset.
Of course I'm upset.
Yeah, but I mean, how are you going to stop it?
I don't want to get too political.
Well, I think you're right about the mental health issue.
Yeah, well, I'm just telling you that it's pissing me off now. I mean, it's almost like, how do you, and of course, what do you do? Do I kick down the door to the guy's house? Maybe what we need is to pull all the guns in and all the ammunition in until, you know, till the message gets out there solid, start acting like human beings, or, you know, maybe we got to start treating people like children. Maybe that's what we got to do. No more guns, but I realize that it's not that simple, you know? It just is not that simple. It just never goes that simply. All right, so that's the latest news, but four people, not six. And if they're counting the sixth being the shooter, then I think CNN, you got your head parked way, way up there, man.
Yeah, CNN's got their head parked all right. Because they say breaking news.
Oh, I don't understand, man. That's a tape.
I know it's a tape. Why is it breaking news?
I agree with Bud. You know, breaking news. And I know why CNN does it, because they want to maintain the viewers. But, you know, Anderson Cooper, it's almost 1 o'clock in the morning. You know that it's 4 o'clock in New York or wherever the hell he is. So that cat's been off the job for a long time, rolling this stuff.
Well, don't they have a live host in the studio? Like, I remember when I was doing local news for Channel 27 in Orlando, Florida, and we had Brick Brickman. Phil?
What about him?
You've never heard of Brick Brickman?
No.
Well, you really got to get educated. I don't know.
I was a disc jockey. Who's Brick Brickman?
Yeah, who is he?
I don't care whether you... Brick Brickman was one of the top news anchors in all of the local overnight.
I thought you were going to say in all of news. Now it's all of the local overnight.
Yes. And Brick Brickman was a man that he was powerful, yet he was stupid. And here's what I mean by that. Most news anchors can be very thick. Before I married Frank, I dated a lot of them. I dated Brick Brickman. Thick and dull. Very, very self-consumed. The way that William Hurt was in broadcast news, only even dumber. And yet when he got on the air and he started reading the teleprompter, he did it with a dynamic that I can only call sexual, sensual, vibrant, and almost a verb. It vibrated. He did. I did, you know.
Yeah.
You don't seem interested.
No, I'm not interested.
Why?
Yeah, why?
Yeah, because the story she just told is the most dull thing I ever heard.
Brick Brickman was dull.
All right, then why are we talking about him?
Phil, don't raise your voice.
Because he was Brick Brickman.
All right, thanks very much, Margaret.
Oh, look, he's giving me the look like I'm nuts. No, not me. It's you, my friend.
Yeah, okay. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by me.
And who is me?
Phil Hendry and Dan Northcraft. Until Monday at 10, let that be a lesson to you, brother.
Remember Rick Britman.